verses tonight, and then close the Bible and talk to you for a while and exhort you. Open your Bibles to chapter number 19, verse number 14. Deuteronomy, chapter number 19, verse number 14. Let me say, in defense of the kind of talk I'm going to make tonight, I hear preachers all over America saying that preachers are supposed to preach the Word, and that's true, but that's not all they're supposed to do. That same verse that says preach the Word says exhort, and also says rebuke with all long-suffering. Sometimes a preacher is supposed to preach the Bible, sometimes he's supposed to give fatherly advice, sometimes he's supposed to throw a fit. And tonight, I'm going to give some fatherly advice. I want you to follow me carefully. Verse 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Turn to chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, verse number 17. First, I want you to look at verse 18. I want to show you some of the wicked things that God's placed a curse on. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Look at verse number 20. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, uncovereth, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. Verse 21. Cursed be he that lieth with all any manner of beast. Now that all those awful things, and verse 17 is in that group. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Now look at me. The landmark was usually a piece of stone or a piece of metal that was placed between the property of two people. Yet they did not have, as we have today, more sophisticated ways of dividing property. That landmark between somebody's property, two people's property, was often moved. But nobody would move it quickly or very far. It was gradually moved while no one watched it and no one saw it. A little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day, a little bit the next day, a little bit the next day. Till finally they woke up one day and found that the landmark had been removed and some of their property had been stolen. Now, churches and schools don't decay immediately. It's a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day. The devil moves us just a tad, a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. Tonight I want to talk to you very seriously about this matter of how the devil removes some landmarks. Our Heavenly Father, I feel tonight this is one of the most important discussions I've had in years. I pray you'd help the people to listen and help me to have a mind that's alert and a heart that's warm as we discuss this very vital subject tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And our Father, help us as we talk tonight and as we listen. May it be used of God for the purpose I believe you have tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not going to scold anybody, but I'm going to speak very frankly tonight. I'm going to name some institutions. And I'm not on a crusade tonight. I'm just teaching on the church. And I want to talk to you tonight about a little subject that I'll unfold as I go along. I'm not an intellectual. I make no claim at being an intellectual. But I have made a study. Listen to me now. That's enough talking. I've made a study. Before this college, Hiles Anderson College, was ever formed, I made a trip to Panama City, Florida. I made a trip to Cleveland, Tennessee. And I made a trip to Greenville, South Carolina. I made that trip for the purpose of finding what kind of institution Bob Jones University was when it was founded. I was not interested in copying or modeling our school after Bob Jones University now. I was interested in modeling our school after Bob Jones University then. Schools grow up and schools grow older, and I was concerned about our school starting right. I made a trip, by the way, in those towns. I talked to people who were there.
when the school was started. I talked to businessmen. I talked to fellow Christians. And I mean, I made a study of Bob Jones University. I went to Chattanooga. I stayed there for quite some time. I mean, a couple of days. I talked to people who were there when Tennessee Temple was founded. I talked to faculty members. I talked to students. I talked to graduates. I wanted to find out what Tennessee Temple was like when it was started. I have made a study of Fuller Seminary in Southern California, a seminary that was started in 1947 and is as dead as last year's Christmas tree tonight. I've made a study of Moody Bible Institute. I made a study of Dallas Seminary. I made a study of Wheaton College. And I made a study of many of the institutions that are older now. I wanted to find that, and others too, not just those, but others. But I made a detailed study of these. I'm no intellectual, but there's nobody in this room that knows more about what I'm talking about tonight than I do, because I've made a study of it. I wanted to find out what made schools slide. I wanted to find out what made colleges decay. And by the grace of God, if you'll give me grace, I'm going to try to do what I can to keep ours from decaying. And likewise, our high school, our junior high school, our City Baptist, our grade school, and I'll do what I can. So I want to lay on your heart tonight a few things. And somebody said last night, I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia, and they said somebody heard you preach not long ago, and they said that you preached like you're about ready to hand someone else your mantle. No, when I had the little problem at Bob Jones University when I was out of it because of, they said, low blood sugar for about 3 hours, I got rattled a bit. I got concerned a bit. I got scared. Not about dying, but about what happened to this church in case something happened to me. So I began to think about the successor. Who should follow me? Who should take my place? And tonight I'm announcing that successor. You're looking at him right now. I plan to be the new pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And I just decided to stay around a while and postpone my departure a great deal. But I have no premonition that I'm gonna be leaving here at all. I have a premonition a few of you are gonna be leaving, but I don't have any premonition. Jim Vineyard said if one of us got to leave, you leave. It's easier for you to move your membership, me to move my furniture. And so don't laugh very long. I haven't got time. I got to rush into this now. So I'm gonna make some statements tonight, and a few of them are going to be very frank about some institutions. First thing I want to say is the church, and this is repetition, the local church, which is the only church there is, has been given the promise of divine perpetuity. The word perpetuity means perpetuate. It has been given the promise that it does not have to die. No local church has to die. If a local church dies, it chooses to die because God has given us the availability of divine perpetuity. All right, number two, I want to say this. If the school is under the church, then the school, and this is old hat too, the school has a perfect right to claim the same promise. Because if the church controls the school, and the school is under the jurisdiction of the church, then the school being a part of the church has the same right to claim that divine perpetuity. Now, this is the summary of what I'm going to say tonight. Then it is your job and mine to keep the school straight. It is as much your job. No, it's not as much your job either. It is as really, though not as much your job, it is as really your job to keep our school straight as it is mine. Now, listen to me carefully. It is the job of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, to keep Hammond Baptist High School straight. It is the job of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, to keep Howells Anderson College straight. It is the job of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, to keep all of our schools straight. It's our job. Now, let me tell you, don't get scared of the college. I'm talking to the church now. Don't get scared of the college. People that have a degree don't know any more than you folks that do have degrees. You're just ignorant about different subjects, that's all. And so don't get scared of it. It's our job as First Baptist Church, and all of us, college family, non-college family, it's our job to keep the school straight. Now, it may be that Howells Anderson College and the Hammond Baptist Schools will deteriorate as rapidly as some others have. But if they do, it'll not be because I've not done my best to warn you what could happen and how it could happen. It is our job. All right, now follow me carefully. This is how that job is to be carried out. Don't miss it. Always a preacher at the head. Now, you keep as long as... And by the way, if I pastor this church to 90, that's only about 27, 26 and a half more years. I mean, one day I won't be here, and most of you will. Now, don't you put an educator at the head of Howells Anderson College. You keep a dogmatic, mean, nasty, green machine as head of Howells Anderson College. Colleges die, and Dr. Evans, he agrees what I'm saying. He and I agree 100% on this. Colleges die when a suave educator becomes the president of the college. I could name three or four Christian colleges right now that used to have evangelists or pastors as the fellow who's in charge of the school, and they resigned or retired, and they called some suave educator because he had a good suave personality and had a good intellectual mind. Intellectual minds don't need to be at the head of colleges. They need to be in colleges, but not the head of colleges. Somebody always you need to have a dogmatic preacher as the enforcer. The enforcer. And you're looking at the enforcer now. Bill Grady thinks he's the enforcer. He calls himself the enforcer and calls me what? Grandfather. I don't like that. You be grandfather. I'll be the enforcer. Grandfathers are kind. Enforcers are mean. I'd rather be an enforcer. But anyway, one of these days, when I'm gone out yonder years from now, I'm not packing. But one of these days, you're going to have to choose somebody to head. Now, don't you ever choose an administrator at Howells Anderson College to run the college and a pastor to run the church. You choose a pastor to be over the college and the church because the church must stay over the college. Now, not only should you have at the head not a suave educator, but a dogmatic preacher, but also lay people must continually help police the institution. Don't miss this. I said to our faculty members at Howells Anderson College the other day that I want them to come to me and let me know personally if there are changes at the college that are being made that I don't know about. But there's no way that this crowd of people can all come to me. Now, you must alert me to things that are changing in our school. I don't mean things that are not changing that you just happen not to like. I'm talking about if there are things that are changing in our schools from what they're meant to be, what they started out to be. I cannot be in all the classrooms. Some of you are. I cannot be at all the meetings and all the games. Some of you are. Illustration. Last Tuesday night in our gymnasium, I got over 20 letters. I had over 25 letters last weekend and through Wednesday through Sunday. About last Tuesday night in our gymnasium, when the visiting cheerleaders, according to what you wrote me, a bunch of you, I never had so many letters in my life about one thing at the high school, showed their thighs and their underwear. That's not what our high school is made for. We'll close down the gymnasium before we have a leg show at our high school. Now, I can't go to the games, all of them, and you're going to have to help me, and I appreciate it. Look, I'm sick and tired of your letters, but they got to keep coming. Every time I get one, I cringe, but they got to keep coming. So what happens? I called Dr. Weber, and on the phone, he and I talked. He was busy coaching. He didn't notice it. And I talked to him on the phone. And he said, "Preacher, we'll do something about it because he's as concerned as I am. And so we'll take care of it. But we'll take care of it because you helped us police the situation." It's not enough for you to say, "Our schools are changing." Our schools are not going to change. Don't you write me and say, "Our schools are changing." You write me and say, "Something is changing." And I'll guarantee you, if it's changing, we'll get it back where it was. Now, I'm not promising you that we'll satisfy every little personal whim of yours that comes up. And it may be there was something that when the school started you didn't like. I'm not saying we're going to rearrange the school to fit what your whims. I am saying that we're going to rearrange the school to be sure it was what it was when it started and what it was intended to be. All right? That means this. It should be carried out by a preacher who is a dogmatic preacher, and that's the only kind of preacher there is, who's a real preacher, and lay people that help in policing. Now, let me show you what can happen. In 1947, Fuller Seminary was founded. Founded by dear old Dr. Charles E. Fuller. Dr. Fuller of the old-fashioned revival hour, for whom Rudy Atwood played. It was founded in 1947. Now listen carefully. In 1982, that's 35 years after it was founded, they took a poll. 50% of the students in Fuller Seminary, 35 years after it was founded, were tolerant of drinking alcohol. 14% of the students believed there was a hell. 15% of the students, hear me now, 35 short years. 15% of the students, after 35 years, believe the Bible is infallible. That's 1982. Now I'm saying in 35 years, Howells Anderson College is 18 years old. Hammond Baptist Schools are 20 years old. No time to go to sleep now. Slap yourself in the face, or I'm going to come down and slap you one or the other, because you're going to stay awake. Listen to me now. Listen, if you're not concerned about the future of this church, then go on home, go to bed. But don't go to bed here. Now, I'm saying that's what happens. Listen to me carefully. When was Tennessee Temple started? 1946. Tennessee Temple was started. That's 44 years ago. Do you know in the last 5 years, Dr. Lee Robertson, the founder and the godly man who built that school, has had letters circulated in the dormitories of Tennessee Temple University against Dr. Robertson. In the classrooms, I've had people tell me that were there in the classrooms, Dr. Robertson, while he was still pastor of the church and president of the college, had faculty members in the classroom criticize him openly and make fun of him for being a simple preacher. Dr. Robertson has forgotten more than those professors know. One of the greatest men that ever lived. One of the prophets of our generation. One of the finest men that ever graced a pulpit. One of the most gracious, kind men that ever lived. And those little penny-ante poppycock professors sitting there at their little desk, they never put one brick on those buildings. Never stayed awake one night to pray for God to make those buildings possible. That happens in 40 years or so. 44 years. Now, it doesn't have to happen. But it can happen at Hammond Baptist Schools and Howells Anderson College. Let me tell you what my studies found. And I'm not giving you tonight some things I have to write down. I'm giving you some things that I've studied and studied and studied for years. I'm going to give you 11 things tonight that cause the destruction of a school under the canopy of a church. Number one, the church must not get tired of being warned. We must not get tired of being warned. You must not go home and say, preacher said it again, same old stuff, warning us about what's going to happen to our schools. That's exactly the first thing that will happen. You've got to, everybody in this room has got to say, walk guard as a sentinel around the schools that we have here and say, by God's grace, I'm not a committee of one to criticize. I'm not a committee of one to gossip. I'm not a committee of one to try to cause trouble, but I am a committee of one to let my preacher know when something is changing at the school. Now, you're not the enforcer. It's not your job to enforce it. That's my job to enforce it. It's your job to let me know. If the people try to enforce, the school will die. If the preacher doesn't know, the school will die. You let me know. So you must not get tired of being warned. Number two, we must reproduce ourselves. We must reproduce ourselves. Now, modern scholarship says that you must have so many teachers from other universities and other colleges to come in. Now, that's an homogenization of education. You can't be accredited, for example. We couldn't be accredited if we wanted to, and bless God, we don't want to. But the honest, simple truth is, we could not be accredited, because to be accredited, you have to have a certain percentage of your professors that come from other universities and teach in your college. Dr. Lee Robertson sat in the Perkins restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska, alone with me in a booth a few years ago when he was just about to finish his ministry at Highland Park, and he said, Dr. Howells, you're doing something I wish I'd done. Listen to me. Dr. Lee Robertson, you're doing something I wish I'd done. I said, what's that, Doc? He said, I wish I'd have hired my own graduates. He made this statement. He said, today, this very moment, I have a problem. I hired a music teacher that I thought was a good Christian just a few months ago. He's on our faculty. I found out just a few days ago that at night he's playing in a dance band in Chattanooga. Did you hear what I said? I'm saying that the modern humanist idea that you've got to get professional. See, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the same dress fit every woman. They're trying to make every school exactly alike. I guarantee you, you go to University of Illinois tonight and go to University of Michigan tomorrow night and you can't tell the difference. Then you go to the University of Indiana or University of Iowa or University of Minnesota or University of Kentucky. They're all alike. You know why? Because the accreditation board says you've got to mix your professors. Now, at Howells Anderson College, we have a unique purpose in America. No other school has the exact purpose we have in America. Well, nobody knows the purpose we have better than those that we train. Because of that, we'll hire our own. We'll hire our own. We don't want to dilute our purpose with hiring people from schools that have already decayed or are decaying or decadent. We'll reproduce ourselves. Years ago, this story has been told, but many of you have not heard it. We first started our college. Dr. Bob Billings is the first president of our college, and as I've said so often, we owe to him a debt we ought to always try to repay. He still gets a check every month for $200 from First Baptist Church of Hammond, a love gift to him for what he did starting our school. But now, wait a minute. First year of our school. You know how Dr. Billings was. Oh, he was excitable. Somebody asked me yesterday, he said, "Where's Dr. Billings now? What's he doing?" I said, "Don't know. I haven't seen him in two or three days." But always on the go, always moving, always changing jobs. He stayed here longer than he's ever stayed anywhere. But he came rushing to me. You know how he was. He said, "Hey, preacher, boy, have I got some good news." I said, "What is it, Doc?" He said, and he called the name of Dr. Charles Ryrie. The Charles Ryrie of the Ryrie Reference Bible. The Charles Ryrie, probably the most famous, best-known theologian at that time in America, apart from Brother Laurent. But the truth is, he said, now whether it's true or not, don't know. Dr. Billings had heard it. He said, "Dr. Ryrie is interested in teaching." And boy, he's panting. "Dr. Ryrie is interested in teaching in Howells Anderson College." He said, "Boy, isn't that good news?" I said, "No. No." Bless his heart, you could see the water dripping off, the cold water I'd thrown on him. I said, "Doc, at Howells Anderson College, we won't hire famous theologians, we'll make famous theologians." Yeah. We're not building a Dallas Seminary here, we're building a Howells Anderson College. So we'll reproduce our own. Now, I'm telling you what happens. A school, here's the thing. A young school wants some credentials. They want some credentials. So they go to a dying school to get a teacher to come and help kill the young school. We'll just let her on. You know, these guys I introduced to you, greatest guys in the world, they came from here. Now, we first started, we had to hire folks from outside here, like Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen. And look at the mistake we made in doing that. But I want to say this. It was not easy, even for them, to get acclimated. I'm saying we'll reproduce ourselves. The third thing that causes schools to decay and die is this. The thing we'll do to keep from it. We must, now get this carefully, we must choose all faculty members who have Bible training. What happens in our schools, I can prove this has happened. I've not read it anywhere, but I can prove it happened. Schools get the idea that an English teacher only has to know English to be an English teacher. No, an English teacher needs to know the Bible to be an English teacher, you see. Christian schools, I've named some of them tonight. They hire somebody that's good in science. Nobody should teach science in a Christian school that doesn't know the Bible inside out. Nobody should teach math in a Christian school that doesn't know the Bible. Everybody teaches in a Christian college, especially in any Christian school, ought to know the Bible enough to where he or she could teach Bible in that school. I'm saying no one can properly teach English, philosophy, science without a thorough knowledge of the Bible. It's not Christian education. Unless every teacher, I mean every teacher, is a Bible student. We started our high school 20 years ago, 1970. We had one or two fine people in our, and please don't be upset when I say this, we have some public school teachers in this room tonight. I don't mean to be unkind to you. I simply do not believe in the public school system. You know that. I love you. And we have teachers here tonight. I wouldn't offend you for the world, but you wouldn't give a dime for me if I didn't tell you what I believed. And so I'm saying it earnestly. We had some, listen to me right this way, listen to me now. We had a couple of three public school teachers. Well, we'd never been in the school business. We hired a couple of these public school teachers. They were the sweetest people on earth, but they were not oriented to the Christian school movement. For example, I got word that one of them, a young lady, was not going to chapel. I called her in. I said, I understand. I said, all of our faculty members have to go to chapel. And if you are on the faculty or staff at any of our schools and not going to go to chapel every time the chapel doors are open, then you trot yourself somewhere else. I'll say it again. If you're not going to go to chapel, then don't you get your salary from our schools or our church. This teacher said to me, I believe in academic freedom. And I said, I don't. Hammond Baptist schools were not started for academic freedom. You have no freedom about what you believe about that book. You have no freedom about what you believe about convictions and standards. You have no freedom about what you believe about faithfulness to chapel and faithfulness to God's house. That's what's destroyed the other schools. I've been to college after college. I'm talking about Christian college that would have me preach. I've been to them college after college. And the honest truth is, the principal of the school, of the high school, or the teachers in the college didn't even come to chapel. I preached in a high school of the day, a Christian high school of a good size of the day, in operated by a church, and after it was all over, I went to the principal's office and thanked him for letting me be there, and the principal had not even been to chapel that day. I mean that day. Now, I'm simply saying that I know what causes it. I know what causes it. We must choose all faculty members from those who know the Bible. And the fourth thing, we must avoid what is called the centrist position. Let me give you what the centrist position is. Brother Eau Claire, stand up where you are, please. Brother Keith, stand up right where you are. And Brother John, stand up about right here, please, if you would. I'm going to let Brother Eau Claire and Brother Colston represent the extreme positions of theology. I'm going to let Brother Keith represent, stand right in the middle of them, halfway equidistant. All right? Over here a bit. I'm going to let Brother Keith represent the moderate position. Now, as the theological winds blow and changes come in the extreme positions, the centrist position says that we will stay right in the middle of the extremes. So, Brother John, you move over there. Now, what you going to do, Brother Keith? All right. Brother Claire, you move over here. Brother Keith, don't let me tell you now. You do what you're supposed to do. Why don't you guys just shift around a little bit? That's funny, isn't it? But that's the way they change. Thank you, fellas. That's the way they change. See? Now, ask you a question. Who decided what Brother Keith McKinney believed? Those two fellas. Nobody's going to decide what I believe but me. See? The centrist position says we'll take a safe position in between the two extremes. Now, Brother Keith, fellas, stand up like you did while I go originally. All right, Brother Keith, you're going to take your position. Okay? You go over there, and Brother, you go over here. He stands. Move on some more. Move on here. He stands. Now he is the extreme position. See? I mean, an institution ought to decide where do we stand.
Every time the wind blows and somebody changes, we don't change. On Christ, the solid rock, I'm saying, whatever clothing is right to wear, it's always right or wrong to wear. Whatever convictions, and if dancing was once wrong, it's still wrong. If Hollywood was once wrong, it's still wrong. If the Bible was once the Word of God, it's still the Word of God. We won't change. And America's looking for somebody that won't change. Howells Anderson College is only alive because we're doing exactly what Keith McKinney just did. Thank you, fellas. Our position must not be set with regard to others. We must decide our own position. Now, I know what I'm talking about. You see, listen. I got something to say. Listen to me. I know what I've studied these schools. I know what makes them change. If certain standards are not popular and we're losing some students, let's change the standards. But the strange thing about it, those schools don't grow. You don't grow by letting down your standards. You grow by standing by your standards. The Catholics in America lost their foothold, and they're closing churches all over the country by the hundreds because they don't stand for anything anymore. They used to say, we believe this and this and this and this, and now they say, we'll take the centrist position, and we won't be at either extreme. You should not try to be at any extreme. You should just stand where you're supposed to stand and let the circumstances and the wind of others, as it blows others, decide whether you're extreme or not. 40 years ago when I started preaching, I wasn't very extreme. Today, I'm very extreme. Haven't changed. Get my sermons when I was a kid preacher. Listen to them. You won't, apart from changing accent and adding a few hours per sermon to them, you won't see much difference. Why? I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted with the waters, I shall not be moved. All right, I said the first thing caused these schools to change. I'm talking about Fuller Seminary and others getting tired of being warned, not reproducing themselves, choosing faculty members who are experts in a field but not also in the Bible. Every school teacher, every elementary education student. Elementary and second education student in Howells Anderson College ought to cram yourself with Bible while you're in Howells Anderson College. And then we must avoid the centrist position. Number five, we must avoid, this is so important, we must avoid searching for the truth. We must avoid searching for the truth. We have already searched for the truth and found it. I am not in a search to see if this Bible is the Word of God. I have searched and found to my satisfaction that it is. It's not up for re-examination. The doctrines that I believe today, I believe 40 years ago because I decided 40 years ago what I thought was right, and I'm not searching for the truth, I'm proclaiming the truth. There's something about modern education that does not like absolutes. Everything is relative. Our nation was built on absolutes. Every great empire that ever has been built was built on absolutes. Every great denomination that's ever been built was built on absolutes. When the absolutes leave, the growth leaves. And if the growth didn't leave, you're still supposed to have absolutes. Number six, I mentioned it a while ago, academic freedom. Now, I'm not saying that every little dot on an I and cross on a T, you have to agree with the institutions that hire you. But I am saying that you don't have the freedom in any institution that is worth its salt to teach anything that you believe. You let one professor at Howells Anderson College teach the Bible, not the Word of God, and he'll be at Fuller Seminary tomorrow. You see, I've gotten mean in the last year. Meaner. I was already mean. I've gotten meaner. I was down in Atlanta, Georgia. One of our graduates who graduated several years ago, over 10 years ago. He came to me and said, Dr. Hiles, I never told you this. But he said, while I was in college, I heard you criticized. I heard you criticized severely by a faculty member in Hiles Anderson College. Now, I may have put up with that 10 years ago, but I won't put up with it anymore. Not because I am defending myself, but I am defending the position of the chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. When I hand it down to the next fellow, I do not want him to have a college where the teachers are set in class and criticize him. You say, well, I believe in academic freedom. Then go somewhere where they have it. Go to Purdue Extension, they have it. Go to Wheaton College, they have it. Go to Biola, they have it. The teacher is not the final authority in any institution. Tonight, Southern Baptist schools are gone. Gone. And because there's some pretty decent men who lately have been president of the Southern Baptist Convention, like Dr. Stanley, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Dr. Vine from Jacksonville, and others, folks have the idea the Southern Baptist Convention is straightening out. You won't straighten out the Southern Baptist Convention. You know why you won't? Because you've got to straighten out the schools. And you let any of those fellows go down to the Bible departments of any of these colleges and seminaries and start firing the people, and you'll have revolution. Because you don't get authority back once you've lost it. You keep it or you don't have it. I don't like power. I don't like to be a boss. But it so happens that I am the custodian and the enforcer trying to keep these schools like they are, and I aim to do it. Now, if you don't like that, all you got to do is have a vote to get rid of me, and I'll be on my way, and you can let them rot. But as long as I'm here, I plan to enforce the purpose of these. I'm not going to take over 100 wedding bands that I saw ladies take off their fingers and put in the offering plate 18 years ago for the starting of Hiles Anderson College. And I'm not going to take hundreds of thousands of dollars, over $1 million raised in this church 18 years ago for the founding of Hiles Anderson College. I'm not going to take that. And let somebody steal it without a fight. I'm not going to do it. When Tennessee Temple was in its heyday, Dr. Lee Robertson, you should have been there. You were there. I was there one time speaking. A boy was sitting out there reading the Sword of the Lord in chapel. Hey, you, Sap, put that paper down. Don't you read a paper in chapel. Why, it was a month before I read a paper again. Number seven, no double standard between students and faculty. No double standard between students and faculty. Now, what I'm telling you is what caused the deterioration of these other schools. Christian schools. The faculty members ought to be as good soul winners as the students are. The faculty members ought to work as hard for Jesus as the students do. I'm not satisfied for a teacher to teach a student English on Monday through Friday, and the student works hard for God, and the teacher doesn't. Boy, I thank God today at Hiles Anderson College what I heard. Ray Young was out there at chapel today, and he was talking about the big day we're having. He started calling off the names of people that are having big rallies and big concerted efforts that are heading these things up to get. Oh, one group had a goal of 75 to get saved, and one 70, and one 150, 175. And while he was calling off these people, you know, practically everybody he called off was a member of the faculty. Oh, and he called off Mr. Sprunger. That's the way you keep a college straight. Yeah. He called off, who else did he call off? Mr. Laurent. That's the way you keep it straight. This is going to surprise you a little bit. It'll be a sad day in our college when the single faculty ladies do not abide by the same rules the single student ladies do. Did you know that a 25-year-old faculty lady is no different as far as passions and temptations than a 25-year-old student lady? Because you got your name on a door at the college doesn't mean you don't have any passions and temptations. If the students can't go out in the car alone. And by the way, you sit by the house. What are you talking about? I'm talking about this. I was at Baptist Bible College in Springfield. I'm not fighting it. I'm telling you the truth. The students there can drive in cars alone on dates. When Dr. G.B. Dick was alive, he'd have petrified those kids if they'd done that. And that's what they're doing now. Where did it start? It started when single faculty people did the same thing. Now, I'm not trying to correct Tiles Anderson College. I'm telling you what I have studied. I know what I'm talking about. I know what has caused the deterioration of many of these schools. I said, tired of being warned, the church does not keep its hand and its canopy on the schools. I said, we must not reproducing ourselves. I said, choosing faculty members that do not have solid Bible training. I said, stating your position of midway between the two extremes, not wanting to associate yourself with either extreme or be considered as an extremist. I said, searching for the truth and not standing for the truth. I said, so-called academic freedom. I said, no double standards between students and faculty. Those are things that destroy schools. I'm not telling you what I'm guessing. I'm telling you what I know. Number eight, every employed person in every school ought be involved actively in the work of the local church. Bus route, Sunday school class, everybody. This church is more important than all the schools we have put together. And when this church loses control over our schools, we've lost the schools. The schools are gone. Every paid employee ought to be. Boy, I love it when I see Dr. Jorgensen coming up here on Saturday to our meeting, taking off after the meeting, Vice President of Howells Anderson College, taking off for his bus route. I love it when I see Dr. Rasmussen building a Sunday school class, working on a bus route. I love that. I love it when I see Brother Scott over here in East Chicago with a bus route. I love that. I love it when I see folks building Sunday school classes. I love that. Why? Because, listen, if the college withdraws its interest and activity in the church, then the college is not a part of that which governs the church. Number 10, 9, next number. Get a hold of this one. Student leadership destroys colleges. Howells Anderson College has no student body president and will not as long as I'm here. No student body government. No student body newspaper. Anything published here, we'll publish it. Down North Carolina State right now. And all these heathen, wicked, humanist, sorry, good-for-nothing, satanic-inspired institutions that you're sending your kids to. They got campus newspapers that feel free if they want to criticize and rebuke the president and the chancellor in the paper. They have these student newspapers that call for the firing of certain faculty members. It won't happen here unless you get rid of me. It won't happen here. He said, Brother Howells, don't you believe a student body president? If I believed it, we'd have one. We've been here 18 years. Don't you believe in student government? If I believed in it, we'd have a student government. I believe in administration government. Don't you believe in a school democracy? Not on your cotton-picking life. They'll be making popsicles in Hades before you students run this school or any school here. High school, grade school, junior high school, Hiles Anderson Barber College, whatever it is. Now look, folks, I'm telling you tonight, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not an intellectual, but I'm a seer. Number 10, 11, 10, 9, 14, whatever it is, keep the chapel hot. Keep the chapel hot. We won't change it and call it a convocation either. Keep the chapel hot. Keep it hot. Fool you on lectures. Who ready for preaching? Fool you on seminars. 15 for preaching. Keep the chapel hot. And number 11, we must not let the standards slip. The standards begin to slip. I was at a Christian college. I'll tell you how long it was. Mac Palmer was there when this happened. And Mac Palmer's 114 years old now. I'm talking about 20, 25 years ago. Mac Palmer himself, remember this church, and he said, "Brother House, could I take you to your room after the service tonight?" And I said, "Mac, can you get out of the dorms?" I said, "I'm not supposed to, but it's easy." Now, wait a minute. He came by to get me. He went over to the girls' dormitory, honked, and out came a girl. Got in the car, drove with us to the hotel. I got out, leaving the two of them to drive back. I'm not blaming Mac Palmer. I'm blaming the school. Let that go on. You know what thrilled me the other day? At Hiles Anderson College, we have about 35, 40 doors. You can go through one or four of them, that's all. Every time I go through one of the four, I've got to reach in, get this little doojigger right here. It's my staff and faculty invocation. I don't get in without that. First time one of these guards lets me in without that, I'll fire him. I'll fire him the outside, but I'll fire him. But now, wait a minute. We have an electronic system. In time another one of these doors opens, there's a panel at a central place, and lights start flashing off and on that panel. And we know what door opens, and a guard goes to that door to find out what's happened. The other day, I got to chapel 40 minutes early. I went to the speaker's room. It was as hot as where the booger man resides. It was hot. I decided to get some cold air. I opened the door. Here comes the guard. What's the door doing open? Oh, hello, Dr. Hiles. I love it. I got 15 demerits. We must not let our standards slip. I don't care if our student body goes down to 10. Let's have 10 with the standards we started with. We become centrist. Nobody is supposed to decide our standards for us. Now, I'm not saying America is going to like this, but please don't misunderstand me. I don't want America not to like us. But I didn't get in this business for America to like me. I got in it because I thought we ought to take a stand for what was right and against what was wrong. I'll close where I started. It's up to us, every one of us, to guard it. It's up for you. Brother, if my plane goes down next Monday, or if I chander in 10, 15, 20 years from now, I have a heart attack playing basketball in the NCAA tournament, and you hear Brother House is gone, I want you to get these tapes out. We're leaving them for you. I want you to get them out. And I want you to do what you can to preserve this school. America needs this school more than she needs any other any kind of school in this nation. If I didn't believe it, I'd go out of the school business. Our high school, more and more, is getting lonely. If we got to have a bunch of leg shows in our gymnasium, I promise you, our basketball team will close up shop. I promise you that. I promise you that. It'll close up shop. If telling the other schools their kids can't come in and show their bloomers to all our folks in the stands, if that makes them not want to come and play us, then we'll choose up sides. Play each other. 2 and 2 is 4. 4 and 4 is 8. 8 and 8 is a lot. It'll start with little things like short haircuts but not tapered haircuts. Start there. That's where to start. Now, nothing wrong with a short, untapered haircut, except there's nothing wrong with a Marine who just got enlisted having hair 2 inches long, but he ain't going to do it. I want folks to know when they see Howells Anderson College students, say, that's one of them. The white sidewall. Haircut. Yeah. In God's name, help me do it. Now, somebody's going to go home tonight and think of all things you don't like at our schools. You'll write me a 118-page letter. I'll make a book out of it and publish it and sell it for $9.95. Ask you to give one to everybody pastor school next year. I'm not asking you to write me your gripes. I'm asking you to let me know when these schools change. That's what I'm asking. We've done something right here. Just don't change it. Don't change a winning betting order. If you're in a winning streak, don't change the betting order. By the way, if we start losing, we still won't change our betting order. We've decided, we've set our course, we'll continue on the course. But I won't be here always. How old are you, Brother Ray? 34. I'm 63. If we both die at the same time, you'll be here 29 years after I'm gone. How old are you? 30. You'll be here 33 years after I'm gone. You're going to have to keep the ship on course. Don't you let some little penny-ante pusillanimous pussyfoot in there tickling, back scratching preacher get up here behind his platform and with a suave delivery convince you. If he says, I believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, ask him if it's word for word in the book I got right there. Find out. If he says, I believe in separation, ask him about pants on women. Check him out. Don't you let some suave guy come in here. You get somebody as mean as the devil. Like me. Nobody likes to be the boss. I don't. I hate it with a passion. I never wanted to be a boss. I don't like the boss. But I promise you, I tell you why I mean. Because 20 years ago, we started a school out yonder in the Calumet School District. We took an old dilapidated building. Our church raised $65,000 cash, remodeled that building, started Hammond Baptist Schools. The next year, we started Hammond Baptist Grade School. And the next year, Howells Anderson College. If we deteriorate as fast as Fuller Seminary did in 17 more years, we won't believe the Bible is the Word of God. We won't believe in a hell. And half of us won't believe that liquor is wrong. I was out at Biola University years ago before I knew it was changed. I didn't think about it. I got out there, I couldn't believe what I saw. The president said to me, he's now president of Wheaton College, he said to me something like this. He said, well, we're straight. You check in our bylaws and see if we're not straight. I said, you check in our chapel and see if we're not. You check in our pulpit and see if we're not. Fully on bylaws. Preach the devil out of people. Bylaws don't make anybody change. Preaching does. Let's do what we can. And these are the things. I promise you. I promise you. Every school that's deteriorated by one or more or all of the things I've given you tonight. Let's guard it with our lives for the sake of our kids. I want your kids to have the same kind of school to go to our kids have. I get letters from all over America. Brother Howells, you keep Howells Anderson College straight by all means. I've got a daughter 13 years old. Don't let Howells Anderson College change. I want my daughter to go to Howells Anderson College. Well, I want my granddaughters to go too. I want there to be a place they can go. And I want to be one school in America that does not allow the principles of deterioration to get in. Shall we stand, please?